How did Noel and the Pandas get started?
I was always involved into music, but as a listener, actually, since when I was a kid, as everybody almost. I followed a professional career, and so I studied law, and I was a lawyer, and then I quit my study, my office as a lawyer, and I went to work into a private bank, which went bankrupt actually during the big crisis in 2011, and this not only went bankrupt, but a lot of criminal stuff went after it because the bank was shut up by the authorities because his former general manager was arrested. And so I found myself with no job, no more money, and nothing left to myself because I was also a shareholder of the bank. And so everything was wiped off from one night to the morning after. I tried a lot of normal jobs because I was looking for something completely different. And while I was trying this restart from the bottom, I found myself writing lyrics, and that probably was the sign that I was keeping within myself a lot of problems and things that came out from that experience, and so I started write lyrics, and then I realized that these lyrics were songs actually, so. And so that's how Noel and the Panda started.
So, is that when you decided to move to England? Because you're originally from Italy, correct?
Well, I'm a British citizen actually. Although I was born and raised in Italy, my mum comes from Manchester. And no, Noel and the Pandas were born before, but we realized that in Italy there were no chances for a band like ours because. We were singing our songs in English, and in Italy, apparently the live scene is populated only by tribute bands, cover bands, and that's the only way you can find your way playing around. And we thought that the English market was much more open for a band that were playing their own music. And I think I have a message to I need to bring this message to people. So I wanted to go into a place in a country where my music could have been played around.
Now, how is your life experiences like with the bank and other things that you've gone through being an adult? How has that affected your writing and your music?
I think it affected a lot because I haven't been dreaming about being a singer or a songwriter since I was a kid. I was just a huge listener of music, so I wasn't prepared. And actually, what I was writing down when I realized that these words or poems were actual lyrics, song lyrics. I realized that I was trying to put out from inside my bad feelings, my bad experiences, and so I think it affected a lot. I wouldn't have been probably start sing writing songs if all that happened didn't happen actually.
Well, how has the writing process been for these particular songs and this particular album that you have out now?
Again, I haven't been a songwriter for years, so every single song came out in a different way. Usually now I'm experiencing more what I'm doing, so I'm trying to learn from what I did in the first album. But usually lyrics come out before music, and I used to compose with my acoustic guitar or electric guitar, but always lyrics come out before music, because the urgency I feel is about lyrics, is about saying something. I find myself usually in the position that I'm not satisfied about what I've wrote down, because the lyrics need always to say something.
That's pretty unique that you write the lyrics first, because most people write the music first and then have an idea of what the lyrics are. But this is especially interesting, considering that your music is so intricate. I mean, it's well thought out and it's pieced together, you know, and it's unique. So it's very interesting to see that the music is the last piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, well, that's the strength of the group. I mean, my urgency is into, you know, cleaning up myself, if I can say that. because the fact of the bank is not really, you know, just the fact that you lose your job. My father was chairman of the bank. He was arrested a few weeks after because the former managing director, obviously for saving himself, said that what he did, it was because he was ordered to do. Now we experience criminal sentences in Italy that are, freed and say that we didn't do anything. So we were innocent at that time, but still that fact was a big fact in the life of somebody. When at 5 o'clock in the morning your father calls you and saying they came here to arrest me, that creates a lot of feelings, and you need to. I'm feeling like this. I need to come up with these feelings and try to. Summarize them, synthesize them, and put them down. So the urgency is to write down, and then I pass these lyrics on to the group, and the group with myself in it, obviously, try to create a landscape, a musical landscape for that lyric. So it's probably a unique process, but we like to do it like that.
Well, it obviously works for you, though, because, like I said, the music is on par with the lyrics, and the lyrics are stellar. So, I mean, I'm really impressed all around, and rarely do you see that. Usually, what I see is either the music's weak or the lyrics weak, but most attention was concentrated on one or the other. And this, it's like everything's thought or well thought out all around before it's released.
This probably is linked to the fact that the guitarist of the group, Nicola Rosti, and he is also the producer of our first album, is a music therapy researcher. So when I come up with a lyric, and we read the lyric, and I explain where the lyric comes out and what means to me, a process of music therapy. Musical improvisation comes in, and the band starts to play and improvise on that feeling that created the lyric, the landscape that have created the lyric becomes the landscape for the music. So the band start to improvise, and after half an hour or 5 minutes or 2 days. The band comes up with a musical structure that can host that lyric.
So you guys actually get into the science of it in a way.
Yeah, it is even live. If you were to see a live show, you can see, for example, a song like Red Light Obsession. That's on the CD is just 3 minutes and a half. Live, it goes into 8 minute, 9 minute, 10 minute song, because we try to recreate on stage the same landscape improvised landscape that created the actual musical part of the song. So it's more of a research actually. When we work around the lyric, a music therapy group starts to interact musically.
Now in music therapy, with that being in the background of the group, do you get into music theory at all?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, with music therapy being in the background of members of the group, do you get into music theory at all?
Well, not really. It's more of an exchange of feelings and the way a single musician gets that feeling and try to recreate it within their instrument. And music improvisation is a big part of our interest. And as I said, on stage, we always try to recreate this ambient, this mood. And we usually do a couple of long musical improvisation, and we would like to do more and more of that, involving the audience. And we're trying to understand how to do it without being, you know, without being boring, or without being too much kind of a, you know, scientists, but keeping the thing funny or keeping the thing interesting. Music improvisation is at the bottom of this building.
It's the base,
exactly.
Well, I hear a lot of the improvisation in the studio recording of In the Art of Doom. Not so much that you're improvising as you record, but I could just hear that attitude, I guess you could say, that improvisational attitude in the music. And it got me to thinking, or it got me to wondering, actually, if any of you have a jazz background.
No. The musical influences with the keyboard player is pretty much a Pink Floyd total fan. He knows almost every single song, and he can play by memory every single song from Pink Floyd. Nicola has a huge background, musical background, and he has, for example, if you look for him on Google, you may find his Google page. He has done an album recently which is called Liquid Session Trio. And it's an album completely made with improvisation. So, okay, guys, let's play whatever. And they start playing, and they recorded, and they made this CD, which is amazing. He's actually the real stronghold in the band as far as music improvisation and music therapy research is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Nolan DePanda's album, In the Art of Doom. How did you come up with a title like that, and what is the overall story of behind the lyrics? Because it seems almost like the album tells a story, and now that I've heard the story of your past, it sounds like that's kind of in there.
Well, doom is the key word. And we try to play around with that word, combining it with heart, because it's actually what happened. Heart came out from a painful soul that was affected by doom, and heart and doom are playing together actually in the album. Unfortunately, I must say that I wasn't too experienced. I didn't actually wrote any song before that. So the album came out a little bit uncoherent, if I can say, because we have personal insight landscapes. We have rock and roll songs. We have ballads. I wish I could have been more coherent in you know, in preparing those songs. But that was the first album, and I wasn't really too much experienced. The next album, the one we're working on now, will be more coherent in the fact that it would be always a window open into my soul and into my past life and into my values, because when I talk about love or sex or greed, these are the values I think moving everyone's life, especially love, compared to greed, which is the real factor that influenced my life, my past life. So yeah, doom and art, doom as a light of every single person's life, and heart as a key for safe yourself from doom and from life.
So in a way, it's kind of like yin and yang.
Yeah.
That's it. Nice. Now, if I always ask this question of everybody, if you could only pick one song off the album and the rest you had to throw away, which would it be? And why?
I could be happy.
And why would that be?
That's really the feeling, the strongest feeling I had at the time after the, you know, the bankrupt of the bank. I knew I had a wonderful family, wonderful wife, wonderful children, and I was out of a business which incredibly is influenced by greed and bad feeling, because bank and finance business itself is the most horrible place where you can live, as far as I'm concerned, actually. And because of my experiences, so I didn't have any particular reason for being sad, but that was the feeling, and it was a strong feeling, and that song is the one I prefer out of all the album, because that really is a piece of music improvisation that was really created in the moment. When I was reading the lyrics in the studio, and the music came out, is really an improvised song. There's nothing in that song has been written before we played the direct button, and on stage is the most beautiful song I've ever heard, because it lasts 10, 12, 13, 40 minutes, and is a journey, actually. And it's a journey which I love to take part to every single time we play live. That's my favorite song.
Well, the title fits you, because, I mean, I think you have every reason to be happy, because you've gone from what a lot of us would consider an extreme tragedy, and you've made a new life for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I'm really happy, and I'm. But again, that feeling at the moment was torturing me. Why I cannot be happy? I mean, it was a tragedy. I lost everything, but I was working as a fisherman in a small boat with a friend in West Africa, and I was going out early in the morning in the ocean with this beautiful sun, and I was really happy, but still there was something, and I was remembering always the days immediately after the police came into my father's house and in my life, actually, and so that feeling was so strong that I wrote the song at night. I used to write songs or lyrics on the phone, and that song was written at night. I just woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, opened the notes in the phone, write the lyric, switch off the phone, and went back down in the into my bed. And the day after, I mean, the rhymes and everything was perfect. So that really was an unconscious flow. And that's why I pretty love that song.
Nice. Well, you've done what a lot of us have wished or hoped we could do. I mean, and it takes a lot of strength to come out totally clean like you've done.
You have to, yeah. Thank you. Everybody has to look into themselves more and look at the mirror yourself in the morning and you know, deeply. And then a lot of things come up. Because if you that's what I learned. I have to always ask myself, how do I feel? Am I happy? What can I do to be happy? Because life is one. And we have a lot of reason to be happy. And if we're not happy, there's something that we can do about that. I'm not talking about, you know, going in Africa to fish, but there are a lot of small things in life that can make you happy and satisfied. And we always looking for something different. Or actually, sometimes, most of the time, we don't know what to look for, actually.
Do you think maybe that when, like, because what cripples most of us, I believe, is in the darkest hour of whatever is going on in somebody's life. And, you kind of have that attitude that I've learned the hard way, you know, where, you know, you have to step back at some point and say, look, my heart's still beating and my lungs are still taking in oxygen. What else could be, you know, what else do I need?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's right. And that's when you realize that that's when you start bouncing back.
That's right.
You know,
it's absolutely like this. You got life, your heart's still beating. One life is gone because my past life was amazing. I mean, I was earning a lot of money and I was feeling very happy, but I wasn't. And when doom wiped off everything and left me, you know, sitting on a chair with nothing else to do or to have, no money, no nothing else, then you have to restart, and that's a beautiful occasion. I was very, very lucky to have that occasion, to have that chance to restart again. That's probably something that it's difficult to find in a life the chance to restart again, having learned from the past mistakes.
Do you feel that in life we go through a lot of deaths in our life where we die over and over again only to be reborn as something else?
In the life we have, you mean?
Yeah, not literally die, but we're constantly reinventing ourselves.
Well, if we're lucky enough. If we're lucky enough, we can have that chance because, you see, you spend your life studying and then taking a job, finding a girlfriend or a boyfriend, a partner anyway, and starting a normal life. Then you realize one morning, wow, I'm not happy at all. What can I do? So either you're strong enough to say, okay, I'm not happy, let's start again, or you find an help, an outside, you know, force that drives you into a new life. And I was lucky enough. Probably I wouldn't have been so brave to you know, close everything, shut everything up and start again in another country, in another continent, doing something completely different. I wouldn't have been so brave, I think. But I needed to do it because I was forced to do it. And not everybody is so lucky to find themselves in the position to be able to restart again, putting their forces, their strength, their experiences into a new life. And I was lucky enough to have that chance.
Now, speaking of that and keeping that in mind, where do you see Noel and the Pandas in the future, like the next year, two, three, 5 years?
Oh, I couldn't see so far. We're now organizing a UK tour that hopefully will start in after Easter in April. Then we're going to move to Italy, where we're planning another tour. We're working on the new album, which will be released hopefully next autumn, I think in October. And hopefully, so a new tour in UK. Looking for a booking agent now in the moment. And this is how far I can go with my side, because life has taught me that things can change very quickly. And so I'm sometimes also curious to see what can happen, because I'm putting all my energies, all my strength, all my soul and heart into this, and I hope that something happens, but not really in the sense of, you know, selling albums, in the sense of being able to push forward this message that life is beautiful, as long as you see it through love lenses, if I may say like that. I mean, love is the driving force, and if you stick to close to it, then you can find happiness and peace. And so, peace for yourself. I mean, if everybody is peaceful with themselves, even the world could be a more peaceful place. But yeah, I cannot see so far.